The political year is starting to crank into gear again ahead of this year's federal election, which is due by May. With the Omicron virus upending the summer break for many of you, much of the political focus is on the competence of the Morrison government and its handling of the health crisis. Yet a new problem has emerged, with a stock shortage meaning many chemists will be unable to hand out free rapid antigen tests to pensioners under a federal scheme which starts today. In a moment, we'll be joined by the Labor leader, Anthony Albanese. But first this morning, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce is my guest. Barnaby Joyce, welcome.
PK, it's like heavyweight political boxing in the morning. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Well, let's get into it then. More than 6 million concession card holders are eligible for 10 free tests from today, but thousands of chemists across the country say they can't find that stock. Why hasn't the government made sure the supplies were available before the scheme kicked into gear?
We've got 16 million that'll be turning up in the next week by the end of the month, and we've got another 33 million turning up after that. We've got 70 million on order, and the states are bringing in 130 million. So it's not as if the tests aren't there. Now, the problems that Australia are experiencing are experienced around the world. We don't manufacture the rapid antigen tests in the same mechanism that other countries do, such as China. That's an issue that you can't really sort of years ago predict that rapid antigen tests are going to be the things you need. But what we are doing is making sure we deal with issues as they come along. That's what a competent government does.
I don't mean to be rude, but I have to interrupt. You say you can't anticipate. Yeah, you can. In fact, in August, you were told to anticipate it.
And we are buying rapid antigens. It's not as if they're not here. We've had them. We've been buying them. We've been bringing them in. They've been hoarded, as you know. That's why we've got the restrictions.
So who are you blaming?
Well, I'm blaming the fact that we've got a virus out there that people have been buying not what they... not what they require, but more than they need. And that has been...
So you're blaming average Australians for buying too many?
No, a lot of times, even corporations who businesses who buy more than they require. And that's part and parcel of what you expect. It's like saying you're not producing enough toilet paper. It's because people are swiping it off the shelf. I don't know why they do it, but they do. And now that means we've got to manage for that. So next week, let's... the next 7 days, we've got 16 million coming in. And then we've got more than 33 million after that. It's part of 70 million, and the states are buying 130 million.
Can you guarantee, Barnaby Joyce, that no pensioner will have to wait for a rapid antigen test? If they turn up to a chemist, there'll be one there for them.
Well, of course I wouldn't, and that wouldn't be being truthful with you. What I can say is that we're giving our best endeavours to make sure that that does not occur, but to give sort of holistic sort of promises that on the first instance you find that it doesn't happen means that you're not telling the truth. It's not something I'm going to do.
Okay.
We're going to tell people that we're honestly managing this. We're bringing in 16 million next week. We're bringing in 33 million after that. We've got 200 million between the federal government, the state's government coming in. It's not as if they haven't been there before. They have. I'm sure many of your listeners have had rapid antigen tests. We have had an issue with people hoarding them, and that is now being managed by saying, look, you can get 10 over 3 months, 5 in 1 month.
Yeah, surely the government can't seriously be blaming individuals for hoarding tests. It's your job to buy enough of the tests and to make them available to the vulnerable.
It's definitely been a factor. And to tell you otherwise is also not telling the truth. Hoarding has been a factor. And we've got to make sure we manage that. I keep on repeating myself, which is boring for your listeners.
Don't do that.
Yeah, no, we won't do that. Anyway, we'll wait for Wingy Winey Albert to come up and do it for us. But anyway, that is how you manage. You've managed by finding your problems and working your way through them. And you know, you can't be Nostradamus and say, oh, well, you know, because we were bringing them in. It's not as if we thought, oh, gee, rapid antigen test, haven't thought of that. We were bringing them in. Now we're bringing them in greater numbers, and we're bringing them in with a management process so that we have a better and a more effective distribution of them around the nation now.
So you're blaming the market then, and yet the government has said that it's the market's role to do this. So has the market failed?
Well, the government doesn't make rapid antigen tests. Private enterprise makes rapid antigen tests. And we've got to...
But it's the government's job to plan in a pandemic for all contingencies. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, we do. And one of the contingencies, PK, is that the whole world is having issues with rapid antigen tests, not just Australia. It's just like that. It was like the inoculations that came through. It, the whole world was having issues with accessing them, not just us. I mean, this is by its very nature, by its very name, it's a pandemic. It's gone across the globe, and so we're managing with the globe as to how we deal with this.
And why is it so hard for this government to plan and prepare for contingencies? That's the question many are asking this morning.
Because it's not a matter. You've got to deal with the facts that are before you, and the global production of rapid antigen tests. It's not just a thing that's particular to Australia. And so you're saying, well, you know, it is an incredibly complex thing. It's one of the most complex things that a government has to deal with. And you can hypothetically stick at the sidelines and, like, a sort of, you know, sort of a three-year-old with teething problems, you know, give all your whinging and whining and say, well, you know, if I was there, this would be different. But it wouldn't, because the same global production would be there, the same requirements would be there, the unfortunate circumstances of some people.
You don't think you could have done a better job of the planning around this? You'd give yourself the highest marks for the way you've managed this.
With hindsight, PK, I win every Melbourne Cup that's ever been run. But that doesn't mean I'm a brilliant punter.
But what we want from you is competent government, right? So with the benefit of hindsight, what would have you done differently, Barnaby Joyce?
Well, I think the best test of a competent government is that people don't die. Okay. And Australia has one of the most best records in the globe of keeping people alive. Now,
well, let's go to that, because the government is keen to remind voters of what might have been, that 40,000 more deaths could have occurred. But we're now grappling with 500,000 active cases, many more people self-isolating, pharmacies that have run out of RAT tests, some supermarket shelves are empty. You're trying to tell voters things could be worse, but do you acknowledge that things are pretty bad right now?
Well, we have the Omicron variant out, which is highly contagious. Highly contagious, as many listeners would know. In the past, there'd be many people say, well, I don't know anybody who's had Delta, but by gosh, they certainly know people who've had Omicron. It's in basically every office, every family, people, it's everywhere. It is, as I said, after I got it myself in England, I looked around and said, this version of the virus is going to go through the society like a packet of salts, and it has. And so it's a completely different condition to what we've had with the Delta virus, but it's a mild form of the virus. And when you think of it, with the number of people who have got it and the number of fatalities, we're managing it extremely well.
The European Council has identified Australia as a COVID danger zone, which means Australians could be blocked from travelling. And the US Centre for Disease Control is warning against travel to Australia due to the high level of COVID. Can the government really say that we are the envy of the world?
Well, people are not dying. I mean, that is
the issue. People are dying every day.
Sorry, correction. You were correct. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But the numbers in which the fatality rate is very low, obviously it's a tragic thing for any person who loses a family member for any reason, for catching the flu. But the fatality rate from Omicron is remarkably lower to what it is from Delta, and Australia has done a remarkable job, and the nature, the epidemiology of this variant itself means you have a dramatic pickup in the case numbers, and then, as we would hope, a dramatic fall off as well. Now, we are managing that. We're managing this basically tidal wave of people getting Omicron, because I was double vaxxed and I got it. So, you know, I did what was required. I was double vaxxed, still got it. And for many people, that is the case. But if you double vaccine, we've got one of the highest vaccination rates in the world as well, one of the highest vaccination rates in the world as well. For me, it was a couple of days of something pretty mild. And I was
for
like,
you,
other
but
people,
clearly that's not for everyone. Pauline Hanson has added her voice to calls for a royal commission into the management of the health crisis by all governments. Wouldn't that help us figure out what worked and what didn't?
Well, I think right now we manage. Later on, if people want to review, they can review. No
doubt. Do you think there may be a case for that, though, given this crisis has been so monumental for people?
Well, when you know that, well, I know the next person you interview, the oldest man with teething problems, like a three-year-old with teething problems, will tell you that they need that, right? So if you want to whinge and whine, I suppose that's what you're going to ask for, but let's deal with that issue down the path. Let's deal with that issue down the track.
Okay, so you've got an open mind on a royal commission?
Of course, I've got an open mind on anything with anything that turns up that can help you do a better job, of course.
The economy is key to the government's chances at the election. How much does the decision to keep the West Australian border closed indefinitely put the economic recovery at risk?
Well, this is a sign that, you know, the Prince of Perth can't manage his health system. Mr. McGowan is basically making a statement that he's been unable to manage his own health system. A nation's not going to work without a large section of it as part of it. And, you know, West Australia can't just work in splendid isolation from the globe. Unless, you know, it's not tenable that way.
So he should have opened the border when he said he would?
Well, he's got to ask, the people of Western Australia got to ask the question why the Premier of Western Australia is unable to manage the health system so he can.
Okay, so they might ask that question. Do you think that border should be open today?
I think we've got to get back to the normal scheme of events. Because the normal scheme of events is people go to school when they're supposed to go to school. Borders open. People travel around. They travel overseas. That is how the world works. That is what we expect in 2022. And you know, a large section of Australia that McGowan's decided is going to live in splendid isolation from the world is just not tenable. So the reason this is happening is because he's unable to manage his own health system. It's one of the only jobs he's got.
Okay, so other members of your government have not been as strong in their comments as you. That's been much more muted. You think that West Australia should open its borders when it said it would?
Well, I think the whole nation has to get back and work as an entity. And
the rest of the nation is now open, so do you think WA should stick to that date?
I think that Western Australia should be part of the nation. So I suppose the answer to that is yes. I think they've got to get with the program. But if they can't because the health system doesn't work, then they should just come out and say it. Say, we're not opening our borders because we are unable to manage their own health system. But, that, you know, this
That's
this
not only their that, responsibility, though.
I don't think the Commonwealth owns a hospital in Western Australia.
The Commonwealth certainly is a joint shareholder there in terms of the health system. Do we need to improve our health system?
The state runs state health systems. We do not own the Commonwealth does not own one hospital. So Western Australians have to know that their Premier is responsible for the management of the extreme cases that end up in ICU. And that is a state health issue. And if the Premier is unable to manage or has not prepared for having an ICU capacity that can manage the issues for Western Australians, then that's something for him to answer for. Now, if he can't, then he should say, I'm going to keep the borders closed and because I'm not prepared, my health system's not prepared. Say that. But if he's just saying, well, I've just got, you know, this whim to keep them closed because it's parochial, then come out and say that. And if that's his answer, well, he's wrong. He should open them.
Barnaby Joyce, we're running out of time, but I look forward to speaking to you throughout the year here on RN Breakfast.
It's always entertaining, you and I. Okay.
Nationals leader and Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce.